Are you searching for adventure?
Twink, bear, cub, otter.
She was like a murdery Gorton's fisherman.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
A Lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello, everybody. It is your favorite day of the week. It's time for another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about your favorite movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. I am Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Bowers.
I feel like it's very forward saying your favorite movies from Lifetime and Hallmark. Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
Well, yeah, you know, that is true, Jason.
I only say that because I get the sense that none of us were in love with this week's movie.
Oh, okay. See, here's the thing. After last week, I was like on such a high because the movie was so good. And you know what? We should have left well enough alone and just taken a break after that and come back in the new year.
I lowered my expectations considerably, too, because I liked that one so much more than I thought I would. And I'm not a fan of the royal genre of these types of movies. They're always so... Because I'm not enamored by royal anything anyway. So then when you're making up a fake royal family that's supposed to be like a real royal family, but you're not really following the rules of what it is to be a monarch. It's so painful to watch to me.
Yeah. And these people lived in Anaconda was the place. Ancadia,
I think it was called Anaconda.
Ancadia. That's where Ancadia is, the land where the remaining members of Duran Duran, they formed it after the other guys started the power station.
I think you mean so Arcadia.
Well, this is how the monarchy began.
Arcadia is also a city just to the east of Pasadena. Uh-oh, somebody's not muted.
This movie, it was like they didn't even try. Like they didn't even try to do. Like they were like it was.
There were tasks that the prince in this movie was handling on his own. That I'm like, even if you weren't a monarch, wouldn't you just hire someone to do this, or wouldn't people under you, job wise, be doing this task? Like, why are you hanging paintings on your own?
Right.
You'd like to. He was a down-to-earth prince. He was teaching art classes at the YMCA.
I don't think we ever see a single servant working for them.
Other than Heidi.
And she wasn't really a servant. She was like their personal assistant. And she had a pretty luxe life of not really having to be closely hewn to them.
Right.
She was kind of off and doing her own thing. It would just sort of randomly show up.
Heidi was dating.
Yeah.
She was like a personal assistant.
Yeah. But normally the personal assistant, especially for like a royal family, you've got to be there all the time.
Right.
Like you're the one taking the heat for everything.
She was totally dating.
Yeah.
That's right. Whole time.
Well, before we get into this, is there any Black China news?
China. 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 I have to have my China. China!
And now, the Black China Report. Here's Kirk Fitzpatrick.
This is from hotnewhiphop.com. This was just came in today. Hot off the press. Uh-oh. Thank God it's a shorter story than usual. But we get straight to the point. Rob Kardashian and Black China end custody battle.
Finally, end
2020. They've reached their custody agreement for their daughter, Dream. Rob Kardashian and Black China have been in legal dispute since their breakup years ago, not only over custody for their daughter, but over China's speculations that the Kardashian clan had something to do with the cancellation of her and Rob's reality show, Rob and China. China sued the family for defamation of character and blockage of future opportunities, and later went on to claim that the Kardashian-Jenners were racist. Rob's attorney claims that the show was taken off the air because the two were no longer in a relationship and thus weren't of interest to NBC and Universal and Buena-Murray Productions. The Kardashians' motion to have the lawsuit dismissed. However, the judge allowed China to proceed due to substantial evidence filed by China. While when it comes to the custody of the child Dream, Rob Kardashian claimed that China was a risk because she is no stranger to drugs and alcohol. Kardashian was originally demanding full custody, but now both parents have agreed to alternate physical custody of Dream every week and remain sober when with her.
Nice and remain sober
together for the sake of Dream, even if they are still in court over assault charges. Sounds like there are more stories to come in 2021.
It's Christmas time. Families coming together. Good for them.
But it's a beautiful thing.
there was no outfit. There was no rundown on it.
Yeah. I knew you had a problem with it, but sometimes these things ramble on and on. So I thought once in a while we should have a short one. Plus, it sounded like we had Lori Loughlin news and some June Squid gossip. And, you know, it sounded like we had a lot to cover on today's show.
Yes, we do have Lori Loughlin news.
And now it's time for the Loughlin Report. Here's Ness Kirkendall Barrett.
So, first and foremost, Lori Loughlin is out of prison.
Yes.
She was released. She was released on December 28th. It was noted that she spent her last 2 weeks in isolation because there was a COVID outbreak in the prison. So, but she's out. She served her time. You know, she's now a convicted felon. But what I have to report is, and I don't know why she's picking a fight.
I saw you sent a link right before we recorded, but I didn't see it. What's this fight?
Okay. So, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air star Janet Hubert criticizes Lori Loughlin for white privilege after prison release.
Okay. Now, is this
now?
Okay.
Okay, so it says, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air star Janet Hubert has criticized Lori Loughlin, who was released from prison this week after serving nearly 2 months for her participation in the college admissions scandal. Loughlin was released on Monday, 28th of December, from a federal correctional facility in Dublin, California, after originally surrendering to authorities in late October. The Fuller House actor, who was among numerous high-profile individuals identified as engaging in illegal methods to ensure their children were accepted into prestigious colleges. So Hubert, who played Vivian Banks in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, tweeted her dismay at the news, writing, "So when white actresses commit crimes, they get new shows, pilots, etc. Lori Loughlin, I assume, will get an Emmy for her time in prison." So
that doesn't sound like Lori picking a fight. That sounds like Aunt Viv picking a fight.
Who did you say was picking a fight? Of course it was Aunt Viv.
Yeah, you said Lori was. Yeah, you said Lori Loughlin was the one picking the fight.
Oh, I'm sorry. Janet Hubert was picking the fight. Oh,
is this is the Aunt Viv that was long feuding with Will Smith, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is her thing.
So she and Will have made up.
Yeah.
They're no longer feuding. So I guess maybe she's bored.
You know what it is? She can parlay this in because she parlayed her dispute with Will Smith into being on the reunion show and getting her own interview. So now maybe she could parlay this if there's like a Fuller House reunion, even though she wasn't on that show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There could be a big interview with her on there. This could be a thing. I don't think it's going to work though.
No. And I'm not team Aunt Viv on this because it's like, okay, Lori Loughlin did nothing to you.
This is also one of those things. I don't necessarily think Aunt Viv is trying to really poke the bear. Like, if you're just randomly tweeting, you're getting off your chest in the moment that you're reading news. You're like, this crap again. Versus, like, if she were constantly making Lori Loughlin a target and every single day it was her mission to talk smack about her, that's different than just, like, one random tweet of like, this bitch. You know what I mean?
But you know what? You know what, though? She's going to do it now because, okay, so we haven't heard from Aunt Viv since the reunion. Right? Since the Fresh Prince of reunion. Before that, we hadn't heard about Aunt Viv in quite a long time, right? Yeah.
She so came
after
back.
This statement.
She came Aunt back Viv, in 2012 like Dr. Fauci.
Right. So now get this. So after this statement, Aunt Viv is in 9 different articles around the world. She's even in Hola magazine, and Hola magazine's in Spain.
So. Yeah, but and again, like, I'm not saying that there aren't ulterior motives to this, or that this isn't going to propel into other things. I just feel like a lot of times, well, first of all, it's always a slow news week between Christmas and New Year, entertainment news wise. Two, like when there something makes the press in one outlet or on one outlet, others pick it up because they're like, oh, we have something that's a good take on things. Let's write about that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And it doesn't matter if she's in what the 9 articles. What matters is the article of those that wins the Pulitzer. That's the one that's going to make it.
That's Hola magazine right there.
That's Hola magazine.
And by the way, I'm on Twitter. MC Scat Cat is constantly poking the bear.
MC Scat Cat is he's an angry cat. He's a little bitter about how his career didn't go well. You should follow MC Scat Cat. Co-singer of Opposites Attract, along with Paul Abdul. Go follow his Twitter.
Oh, and I have other news. Oh. I have June Squibb news. Oh.
And now it's time for Squibster, our new app about June Squibb. Let's check it out with Les Kirk and Al Barrett.
Okay, go ahead.
What's that, Kirk?
I just wanted to use this as our intro into our new segment about Ms. June Louise Squibb.
Yeah.
Now, June has been a very busy lady because within a 12-hour span of time, I watched 2 brand new movies that are out, and June Squibb was in both of them.
What were the movies?
She was in this movie called Godmothered, and I was watching, and because gentlemen, I just found out that I am 1 degree away from June Squibb.
Wait, what?
Yes, a very good friend of mine, her name is Carlise. I've known her, I think I've known her since I've lived in LA, and she's a fellow performer. And over the past few years, her career has really taken off as a character actor. So, like, she's one of these people, if you saw her picture, you would totally recognize her because she's seriously in, like, everything.
Okay.
And so I found out she was in this movie, Godmothered. So I was watching the movie Godmothered to support my friend, and I was like, is that June Squibb? And June Squibb was in it. She played a fairy godmother. She played like the star of the movie's best friend. And then I was watching
and not that you can't be, especially in a world of fairy godmothers, but isn't the star of that movie like in her early 30s?
Yes. Well, so in a nutshell, because I've got to be careful not to go on a tangent, because this is a tangent-loaded movie. So the premise of the movie is they're at fairy godmother school, and the fairy godmother school is not doing so well because people don't need fairy godmothers as much as they used to. So they were all in danger of becoming tooth fairies. Well, the star of the movie finds a letter from this little girl. And so she comes to Earth to save the little girl, but she realizes that she miscalculated and the little girl is now a grown-up Amy Adams.
Oh. Amy Adams is in this?
I didn't know yes. Amy Adams was in Godmothered.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
And Jane Curtin was the head godmother.
Love Jane Curtin.
And so the big thing of the plot was she wasn't supposed to leave, but she snuck out and left. So June Squibb was her friend who kept on saying, "Hey, listen, they're looking for you." So she had a sizable role, and then I was watching the movie Soul. Have you guys seen Soul yet?
Not yet. I want to see it really bad, though.
It's so good. It is so good. And so, and it's a cartoon, right? Mm-hmm. And so this one character starts talking, and I was like, that sounds like June Squibb. Is that June Squibb? And it was June Squibb.
She's so gigging.
Yeah. And then I watched Palm Springs finally this week, and she was in that, too.
Yeah, right. She's in Hubie Halloween. She actually has good. She plays Adam Sandler's mom.
And I love the fact that so she's 91. She didn't get her first major movie until 2002. So what was she, 70 something?
Yeah, probably 72, 73.
And then she got her first Oscar nomination at 84.
Wow.
Yeah, we were talking about this before because, you know, you could get Betty White in there, but Betty White is just too Betty White. It's distracting when you see Betty White, whereas June Squibb is more of a seamless performance.
Yeah.
Because Squibb comes in on the DL.
June Squibb is more of an ensemble player.
Yeah.
Right. You also have to find an older actress who's, like, age-appropriate for your leading man. So if there's, like, a movie... They're making a movie with like Anthony Quinn. They got to get June Squibb to match up with Anthony Quinn.
Is Anthony Although Quinn's I think still he's with dead. Us? Yeah.
He's not with us anymore. Anthony Quinn is not with us anymore. I don't think he's been with us for a while.
It's hard to find people. They have to find these, you know, older actresses are still around. There's some movie at HBO. I think it's called Grudge Match. Sylvester Stallone and Robert De Niro, and they found Kim Basinger. They had to match up Kim Basinger with Sylvester Stallone, and that does kind of work. I mean, in age,
yeah, for sure.
Well, and just so you know, I've put out a message to my friend.
Please, yes,
and I want to get because the funny thing is, like, she's a friend, like, you know, like
I think Squibb. She doesn't seem to say no to anything.
No. Well, but here's the deal. She doesn't seem to say no to anything, but she's got a pretty good picker. Because for the most part, the movies she's in are actually pretty good. Like, Palm Springs is okay.
Palm Springs is okay, but that awful Christmas movie we watched last year, Christmas Boots or Christmas whatever it was, she was the only good thing in that movie.
But I guess, you know, coming from her view, I guess she's like, I'm 91. I better, you know, I can't be picky.
I feel like at 91, you can absolutely be picky. She could be like, I don't need to work anymore. I'm 91.
True.
No, but, you know.
I think that's what's keeping her, because she does not look 91.
No, she looks, I would never have guessed she was 91. I would have thought around 70.
And I think that's what's keeping her younger is she's working.
Yeah,
that's the thing. She's working.
And Kurt mentioned a good point because Kurt's like, wow, and she could still remember her lines.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know. Well, that's
the thing. There's not a lot of actors, actresses. There aren't a lot of actors 90 and over that age. So,
right.
Not really. Like, who else is there? I mentioned Betty White.
Betty White.
I don't think Gloria Stewart's alive anymore.
Oh, Cloris Leachman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cloris Leachman is still around. I think she and Betty White are around the same age.
Yeah, I think Jason froze.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you did? Okay, maybe just my screen froze.
But, So I guess so. In 2021, we will now have the Squib Report.
I think we needed a new name, like, because we had come up with that app, the June Squib app last week. I just want to call her report Squibster.
Squibster.
Have you guys ever been squibbed? You know, have you ever had an experience with an actual squib?
No, what's that?
You know what it is, right? It's like if you get shot in a movie, movie. Yeah. They put a squib on you, and the squib is like a little explosive. It's like you've been shot.
Yeah, it's basically like a thing that. Thing was muted, but it didn't mute. It basically explodes a red capsule to make it like when the gunfire goes off.
Oh, that sounds cool, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had it. I had it years ago. I did like a student film and somebody shot me.
Speaking of shot, let's get into this movie because I wanted to shoot myself in the head several times.
Ow. You know, I looked at the artwork. I just looked at the artwork on, you know, on the website, and I just said, I wrote down exactly what I said. This looks so awful.
What accentuated even more how very not good it was is they overlapped with a story element from the last good Hallmark movie, which we watched, which also had a carousel at the center of the movie.
Yes!
And they were advertising this movie during that time travel one that we watched. And these royal movies are so stupid and not fun stupid.
Well, the funny thing is this carousel movie was just as bad as the other carousel movie was good.
Yes, I would say so.
It literally was like the flip side of the coin, and the acting, and I guess I'll wait until we get to that part. But there's one actor who was literally just a step above the park ranger. Seriously,
that's not possible. This trail's been closed for 8 years. It's extremely dangerous.
Well, I admire that woman for whatever. I don't know. She did something to. To accomplish that, to get that role.
We've turned her into like an audio meme. Like we bring her up as often as we can.
Could you imagine the other people who auditioned for that role who didn't get it?
I would be very upset and question my acting career.
And I didn't get the impression that she was like, you know, like an AD was trying to hook up with her, a casting person trying to hook up with her and gave her the part.
No, but that could be somebody that like was owed a favor. That could be one of the, you know, those people that you always look up in the credits, Kurt, on Facebook that's like somehow related to a cast member or a producer or something.
She may have won a raffle.
Yeah. Or maybe she like she let them film at her house or whatever. She's like, well, I want to be in the movie. And they're like, all right, we'll give you a line as a park ranger.
Or like, you know, those prizes in a silent auction or something.
That's what I mean. Yeah. She got like a silent auction. Yeah. Some kind of like disease research, something she got. And she won a role.
Right.
But really, we won. I don't know. All I'm saying is she did something right to get there. That's cool. Unless she's like, was like some Shakespearean actress and things didn't go well. I don't know. I don't think so.
Anyway. Okay. So we're in a town.
we should say the name of the movie, first of all. It's called A Christmas Carousel on Hallmark Channel.
I thought they were going to try to do a Christmas Carol. I thought that was a spinoff of that. Are they going to do this Charles Dickens story? I hope not. I can't stand it. Let's not do that again.
No, there's too much celebration of how bad capitalism is in Christmas Carol, and there's actual stakes. There's no romantic interest really for Ebenezer.
Oh, right.
Oh, who knows? They could work something in. I didn't want to see another. I wasn't in the mood to see another version of that.
Well, we're kind of living it this year.
Right.
Put it this way. The mood I was in over the holidays, if I would have been visited by three ghosts on Christmas Eve, it wouldn't have shocked me. I was half expecting it, actually.
Oh, man.
So, we're in a town, And we see these little kids, and like they're in like a little art class. And the teacher, Lila, Lila is like, hey, kids. Oh, she's asking the kids about like their memories and what their favorite Christmas memories were. That's what they were drawing. And then she says to the kids, hey, kids, I have a surprise. I'm going to show you my Christmas, my favorite Christmas memory. And so they go to a carousel. Now, was this the carousel from the last movie?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah. Because
I rent that out.
I was like, this carousel looks very familiar.
Well, there's also two carousels in this movie, and I think they use the same one.
Right. Okay. Oh, and just kind of beat it up a little bit.
Well, yeah, and that was the whole point, is that these people were like carousel restoration. That's what the her this woman's dad did. And the first time we see a carousel, it's sort of like behind this weird barrier, and then she pulls a sheet away, and they like, you didn't see the giant carousel when you walked into this park, really?
Right.
And then later in the movie, it's more out in the open.
Imagine how weird it is when you do your income taxes, you put your occupation carousel restorer.
I did sort of mentally know, like, of all the ridiculous professions that Hallmark has, call it celebrated or at least highlighted in these movies as sort of like, oh, that'd be quaint to do. This was by far the most ridiculous we've seen to
now,
date.
First of all, I knew we were in trouble and said, uh-oh, because she was not very busy. She was not romantic. She was not busy.
That was weird. Yeah, we'll get to that.
She didn't seem to have any real characteristics.
Because, yeah, normally our characters, they're frantic, they're busy, they're overworked, they're on a deadline, they've got to get shit done.
What? Yeah, they like, tend to have some sort of purpose or mission or thing that they're aspiring to. And the thing she aspired to, she was, like, afraid to chase it, so she wasn't really there for anything.
Yeah. So the most important thing about this part is she tells the kids... her great-grandfather made this merry-go-round, and she and her dad restored it, and she was telling the kids about a wishing horse. Hey, which it,
speaking of the kids, some of those little kids had the acting skills of a young Sofia Coppola.
Oh, the accent in this movie. Oh, these accents make Kevin Costner's British accent in Robin Hood look like it was... like the best Meryl Streep has ever done.
This was one of those movies. You know how I say that, like, there's certain movies that I hope that my husband doesn't walk into the room because he's British and he just goes apeshit when he sees these accents. Thank God he was not at home when I was watching this movie.
No, Les, let him go off and film it and we could put it on our Instagram.
Oh, this is true. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay, creating content, Les. Come on.
Okay, then I'll set it up because he will go off.
Yeah. Man, I started Instagram. All kinds of people are following me, and I'm not doing a damn thing.
Wait, you have an Instagram now, Kurt?
I do, and people are following me. And I put a couple things up.
You seem annoyed.
That's what they're supposed to do on Instagram.
I don't quite know how to operate it.
they're supposed to follow you. That's the point.
Because I have to do stuff on my phone.
You're like, this social media is so social.
I like to do things on my computer, and like on that, I've got to put stuff on my phone. And I put a video up. I was like talking about the snow, and then I watched it back, and it looked like it was going like too. The camera was going too far up my nostrils, so I was embarrassed. So I took a long time trying to figure out how to delete it. So I don't want people seeing me inside of my nose.
Oh, okay. So Lila's friend Nicole shows up, and Nicole actually looked pretty cool.
Yeah, but was she locked in that carousel? Like she all of a sudden, because they opened up, it was like in a tent.
Right? It was weird.
They went in, and there's Nicole. She must have been locked in there overnight.
It wasn't even that it was in a tent. It was in a tent that seemed to really wrap the carousel very closely. It wasn't like there was a lot of room around the carousel inside that tent.
No.
And the thing is, So Nicole tells her that a job, like the program director's job, opened up. And from what I was getting from Nicole's vibe was kind of like, this job is open up, and if you want it, you're pretty much going to get it. That was the vibe I got from it.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, great. And so then we go, and her dad is fixing a carousel, and she's telling her dad about the day and how she showed the kids the carousel.
By the way, I don't know if you caught this. I think it was just like a wonky wording, but when the main character was explaining to the kids about the wishing horse and about her Christmas wish and blah blah blah, she said that she and her dad, or no, she and her great grandfather built this carousel. And I was like, I don't think that math would work out. Like, how old would her great-grandfather have been building that carousel? And how young would she have been building a carousel?
Right.
Oh, no. Her great-grandfather made it. She and her dad renovated it.
Right. But the first time she talked about it, she said, my great-grandfather and my dad and I built it. She made it sound like they had done the build, and then later it was clarified that they were doing a renovation or had renovated it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so then her dad was like, so did you wish for a date? And then she turns to her dad. She's like, well, you need to wish for a date because you've been single for 8 years and you should date, which means her mother is dead.
I see dead people.
But you know what? This movie, she should have just had not only a parent, but like step parents, because that's how bad this movie was.
She said he's not burning up dating apps.
Well, maybe that's because of that terrible toupee he was wearing.
Oh, that was an awful toupee.
It was so bad.
That was awful. So then all of a sudden he gets a phone call. And he's like, yeah, oh, okay, oh, really? Yeah, great.
It was like the most important phone call of his career, and he's so matter of fact about it.
Because the news he gets is the king of Ancadia wants us to come to their country and restore their merry-go-round. Yeah, wouldn't you be a little more excited about that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't remember like, specifically this moment in the movie. Was he getting a call from someone that worked for the prince, or was it the prince calling? Oh, Heidi called him. Okay.
Yeah.
I would think he'd be just the first surprise that the phone works.
Because wouldn't you think, first of all, oh my God, we're going to this European country, and we're going to fix this carousel for royalty. So we're going to get flown to Europe and get paid to be there. Nice. And P.S., we could use the fact that we refurbished this carousel to get all sorts of press and all sorts of work. Wouldn't you be happier than that?
Well, this is a game changer.
Yeah. Well, my first thought, if I'm him and I'm getting a call saying this royal family in Europe somehow can't find anybody else that can repaint the carousel, they're hiring me, I would think it was a joke.
Right.
I would just assume it was a human trafficking scam.
Because most of these movies, when they're tasked to, when you know they're supposed to go to another country, I think the person shows up like in person and is like, "Hello, I'm Giles, mm-hmm. and I work for King blah blah blah."
Yeah,
and then they have the whole "Get out, no, you don't," and then they have to prove that they do. So then, Lila tells Nicole that, "Oh, we're going to be spending Christmas in Ancadia." And then Nicole is like, oh, that's where the Playboy Prince lives.
Ooh.
And And then this is when Lila breaks the news. Like, I'm not sure if I want a full-time, that program director's job. She's like, well, I'm not sure if I want the job because it'll be full-time to work on my carousels anymore. And I actually really like doing that, which is fair. So then we are on a train and they're getting off the train in Ancadia, where they're met by Heidi, the assistant to the prince. And so Prince Whitaker is also helping with the project, right? And Heidi explains to them that the carousel is a Christmas gift for
Maya.
Maya. So here's the thing. Didn't the prince say he was an only child?
I could not figure out where Maya's parents were, because Maya was supposed to be the prince's niece.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We never see her parents. They're never referred to. It's what? Almost like the prince and the king are raising her like their own daughter.
They mentioned like once just in passing that her parents are skiing. And so she's staying with them for the holiday. But oh, they literally did? Was like a split second thing. Yeah.
I missed that. They're skiing.
But I was just trying to figure out, okay, how could she be the prince's niece? Like, did she call the king grandfather? I didn't even think she addressed him.
He was definitely the grandfather.
Because I could have sworn that they said that the prince was an only child, that was part of it.
This is like, what I think happened. I truly believe this. I think that in an original version of the script, the prince had a daughter.
Okay.
And so they liked aspects of that young child being in this movie. So they wrote that, and then Hallmark's like, we can't have a dad where we don't know where the wife is, and maybe they didn't want it to be they didn't want a prince to be a divorcee. They didn't want him to be a single dad. They didn't want him to be like a widower. So they're like, let's just make her a niece.
Also, he was kind of like footloose and fancy free, and I don't think they would have had him have the responsibility of having a daughter or even having gone through the death of a spouse. He didn't seem like he had that experience.
Well, and also I think if he had been a widower, it wouldn't work with that part of the storyline where they were trying to make it seem like the prince was this playboy.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and all they needed to do, and I think it would have probably worked, is have a character of maybe like a brother or a sister, and they're more responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Because it bugged me the whole time. I'm like, okay, wait, so how is she his niece?
Right.
You know, he doesn't have a brother or a sister.
Yeah.
They could have made it a younger sibling or, I don't know.
Or she could have just been his cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like she was, you know, because it's easier with cousins, you know, because the cousin could have been like his dad. Maybe the dad had a brother or sister. You're like, you know, it would have worked better. So then we also find out that they want to present this carousel after the Christmas Eve gala. Yeah. Because every Hallmark movie needs an event. Mm-hmm. So
this whole restoring of this stupid carousel, the timeline that they give, like everything about it was dumb, that they would hire a company from overseas to come restore a carousel. And that like this is such an important thing to you that A, you didn't take care of it all these years, but B, that you're like, oh, now we need this done in 2 weeks. In the winter.
I think they briefly mentioned though that the great grandfather built that carousel.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they definitely wanted Roy and what was her name?
Lila.
Roy, they wanted them to come restore it because it was, you know, the great grandfather in their family that built it. That made sense. What didn't make sense is that they would have such an aggressive timeline for something that would seemingly take a lot of care and would seemingly be done in a warmer climate.
Right.
Right. Right. They need to have it completed in what, like 2 days or something?
2 weeks.
That?
Christmas two weeks, is two weeks away.
Yeah, 2 weeks away. Fix up that carousel.
And they got there, the carousel looked like absolute shit. Like it was like a broke down, like they did not take care of it.
It was this thing that was supposed to be this like family heirloom, but they just let it decay? Really? What, like what's going on in this castle?
And like a shed or something. Yeah.
Is Maya really going to care? Like, you know, just, you know, I don't know. If somebody gave me a carousel, if it was in good shape or decent shape, I'd be pretty freaked out that someone just got me a carousel.
Well, I think if you're like literal royal family, that's a, kind of a normal gift. That it's the difference of being given a used car or a new car.
Right.
I'm a prince. Okay.
Oh, so then they go... they are checking out the carousel and Lila accidentally hits a ladder and there's a guy on a ladder and she's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I bumped into you. I'm sorry. So she has manners. She apologized. And so then the guy starts flirting with her. And I wrote here, I wonder if this guy plays for her team.
I thought that about her dad. I thought that about her dad in the toupee.
All I know is if you are watching this movie and you don't know right away that that's the prince, it's time for assisted living.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's you've hit. Yeah. Actually, I shouldn't laugh.
So then he tells her that he's an artist. And then she starts talking shit about the prince.
If you're the dad and you're Lila and you've been brought from the other side of the world because only your family can restore this carousel because your great grandfather made this carousel and you're honored to be there. And then you get there and some other person you don't know is painting on the carousel that you're there to restore. Wouldn't you question that?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd probably be a little annoyed.
Yes, like, who are you?
I'd be like, you're going to mess up my work.
I didn't think of that. So, I'd be okay if they gave me someone who has to work under me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But he was there working before they got there.
Yeah. So then she finds out that he's the prince, and he says, I'm friendly, not roguish. and then she's like, well, that's what all ladies' men say. And so then they go to their cottage, which that was a very nice cottage.
Yeah.
And so then they go to meet the royal family. The king is not happy with Whitaker, who's the prince, Prince Whitaker. King is not happy with him at all. And so the king wants to retire, but he's not retiring because the prince is very irresponsible. So then, this was dumb too, Maya just comes twirling into the room and says, hello, grandfather, with the worst accent ever. And then she kind of, and then the king's like, you can't just come in here like that. Don't twirl. The king was kind of an asshole.
Right.
And so then he said, then the king decides my son needs a wife. And so then Prince Whitaker shows up and then Duke Sterling shows up with his daughter, Lady Margaret. And so
what nationality do you think Lady Margaret was? Because she looked nothing like her father in terms of heritage.
She looked like she was either from a South American country or a South American country or maybe a Pacific Islander. Like she was very
She looked just like maybe some sort of Hispanic heritage. Spanish heritage or something, which just seemed weird because he didn't look like he was.
Not at all.
No.
She's beautiful.
She was, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, she's beautiful. And so then the prince starts talking about how he wants to build an art school and what he wants to do with the art school. And then I was like, that's our ending. We could go home now.
Maybe art school. That guy, the Duke, looked a little like Albert Finney, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so this is the part. This is the part that I didn't get. Okay, so you're running a kingdom, right?
Right.
Right.
Why would you need to give a proposal to some Duke to get, like, a building?
I thought that was so stupid, too. It made no sense. Like, why is this Duke donating a building to the royal family?
Like, the Duke should be asking you for a building.
Yeah.
I don't even think I understood it. Did the Duke have a piece of land, or the Duke was giving the money, or what was going on?
He had a manor that he didn't need anymore, or whatever, and he was going to sell. He's like, "Oh, I'm going to donate it," but now I'm trying to figure out like who I should donate it to.
What's a manor? You mean like a just a piece of
a manor is normally an estate, yeah.
Property? Yeah, an estate. Okay,
yeah.
All right, and you're going to turn that. All right, I guess.
You can turn it into an art school. He's going to turn it into a school.
So they turn it. Okay. Turn the manor into a school.
I want him to turn it into a Yoshinoya beef bowl.
What's that? You want to turn it into a
Yoshinoya beef bowl?
But yeah, I'm like, shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't he be hitting you up for land? And the Duke was snotty about it. Like, he was even nice about it.
Well, why does he have to be nice? He's given away a manor.
Yeah.
Well, but in the hierarchy of hierarchies, the prince is basically his boss. When you think about it,
was he a duke from that country or from another country? Because they really wanted the king, really wanted the prince to get together with Margaret.
But I didn't understand that. They didn't explain that either.
I didn't realize how confusing this was.
Yeah.
I'm confused now.
So, yeah, so the Duke's like, I've got other offers, so I'll get back to you when I'm ready to. And it looks like his daughter likes the prince. Next scene, the prince is having tea with Lila, and they're drinking pinkies up, which I thought was weird. Mm-hmm. Because she was, I guess she was trying to, it was supposed to symbolize that she was awkward, I guess. Okay. And then we find out that the tea has secret ingredients. The tea has ginger and secret ingredients. So it's like, so it does have booze?
What's that?
Like they never mentioned the tea again. I'm like, why bring up secret ingredients when
secret ingredients?
They're doing Molly,
right? Yeah, was there Molly in the tea?
It's legal here, so we drink it in our tea every morning.
They were really happy when that carousel just kept going round and round and round.
Right.
Care for more crack tea?
Right. It's like, I watched Midsummer. That could never, you know, it might end like that. And Midsummer was not a happy ending. So Heidi and the dad are happy to be there.
New Jack City.
No, not Heidi and the dad. Lila and the dad are happy to be there. Dad starts hitting on Heidi.
Yeah.
And because Heidi was calling him Mr. Thomas, and he's like, you can call me Roy.
Uh-oh.
And, And Heidi's kind of like, oh, okay.
Ooh, I love a bad toupee.
So then Lila and the prince start talking, banter. She's giving him a hard time. And then Margaret then comes in and she's talking to Margaret about, Margaret's like, so what do you do? And she's like, well, I help my father part-time and I'm an art teacher. And the prince is like, a teacher? Woo!
And Margaret, he's really, Margaret shamed her for working part-time.
She did. She gave her a look.
Part-time? Oh.
She gave her a look.
I never heard that. That's a shaming point before, but
I also think an earlier version of this script had Margaret being meaner to Lila. Because there is a scene later in the movie where Margaret shows up and talks to Lila, and the scene seemed to only exist to make Lila jealous of Margaret for no reason.
Right.
Well, Margaret gets a short end of the stick in this movie. I don't think they treat Margaret very well.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think Margaret could do better, though.
I do, too.
Yeah. Because Margaret was like this beautiful. Margaret could do well.
Yeah.
So
as well, because Margaret's way hotter than the lead actress.
What they should have done is to justify having the niece is have the prince have a younger brother who's a widower. And so he's barely in the movie, but then like he comes back from his ski trip or whatever, and then he and Margaret connect.
And I'm going to go a little step further. I think Margaret had a better personality than Lila did.
Yeah, she had actual characteristics.
Yeah. So then Lila thinks that Margaret is the prince's girlfriend. And he's like, no, it's not. She's not my girlfriend. But they've been, I guess, they grew up together and they've been best friends since they were little kids. So then more banter. So then Roy and Lila go to a Christmas carnival because, you know, every Hallmark movie town has to have a Christmas carnival. That's 24 hours. Like every Carousel movie has a 24-hour Christmas carnival involved because the last one did, too. So Lila keeps on getting texts, but she keeps on ignoring them.
And then
Roy tells Lila not to waste her gifts. And so they go back to the carousel. I guess they had herrings for breakfast or some kind of fish breakfast or something. Mm-hmm. And then...
Well, she's making a horse leg and the prince thinks it's a tomahawk. Now, what... How is a tomahawk going to work into the carousel where they're going to be like angry Native Americans?
Did he say that she should add a tomahawk, or was he saying that the leg she was drawing looked like a tomahawk?
He thought she had a horse leg.
Oh, yeah.
The carousel, and he thought she was making a tomahawk.
Oh, okay. And so then he decides to take her to go look at the horses. So they look at the horses. They feed the horses, which was kind of a useless scene because it didn't lead anything.
For me, I enjoy seeing apples being eaten whole. So I just like that. You can just put a whole apple in your mouth and swallow it.
Are we talking about Lila and the prince, or are you talking about the horse here?
No horse, man. You just give a horse an apple and that's it. Stem and all.
I was happy with the feet.
If I'm reincarnated as a horse, I'm going straight for that apple.
Then Lila apologizes to the prince because she's like, I may have jumped to conclusions about you, but you reminded me of my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then, which I think the ex-boyfriend's probably just got bored and left.
Yeah.
So, So then they're talking about teaching. She loves teaching art. She tells the prince she's at a crossroads. There's a dream job that she's up for, which is the program director job. But she tells mm-hmm. him that she doesn't want to apply because she actually doesn't want to. She enjoys doing restoration work, and so she doesn't want to take a full-time job. And also, fixing the carousels is what helped her and her dad when her mom died.
I see dead people.
So, meanwhile, the prince, or the king, is not happy that the prince wants to be an artist. And so then, but then the prince says that Margaret's grandmother is the reason why he became an artist in the first place, because she, like, when they were kids, she got them involved in artsy activities. Yeah. And so then he talks about how the art school is personal to him, and he's having an uphill battle with the Duke, which I'm like, oh, why do you need to have an uphill battle with the Duke? Your dad's the king.
Yeah.
So
he's very broad in his arts too. He's like, I did basket weaving and ballet and snuff films and point of view cam porn and da da da.
Oh,
little stand up.
Did you do any Oculus?
Did an Oculus. Did a film with June Squibb. Little scene.
Ooh. Right.
But June loves to get railed on camera.
They're trying to figure out ways to impress the Duke. And Lila's like, well, why don't you show the Duke how important art can be? Fuck the Duke. You outrank him. You don't need to prove anything to him.
That Duke carries himself with a certain level of moxie, though.
But I
thought it was absurd that her solution to this Duke that isn't really enamored by the idea of building an art school, you know what he's going to respond to? More art. Like,
right. It's like, look.
The solution was the thing that was their problem.
It's like, Prince, you're his boss. I watched Downton Abbey. I know how the hierarchy works.
What is a duke anyway? So it's like someone's like a royalty, but they're not like related to everybody else, or
yeah, they're nobility.
Yeah, well, the duke is, if I understand it correctly, the duke is a title that's bestowed upon you by the king or the queen. So, for instance, like when Prince William, after he and Kate married. We refer to him as Prince Harry, but he was actually Duke. He became Duke Harry. He's Duke and Duchess Harry and Meghan.
Uh-huh. Right.
Like the Queen gave him new titles because they didn't want to take away from the spotlight being on William becoming the king one day.
The Duke and Duchess of Cornwall, they were.
So he's not a prince?
No, he's technically a duke.
The Duke. I think at the end of King Ralph, John Goodman became a duke.
This is the second time we've referenced that movie.
I know. Of all movies. It's something.
Are we going to have to start doing King Ralph reports?
These movies. Yeah.
King Ralph. I've never seen that movie. All I know is the commercial and he had a bowling alley in his room or something.
Yeah, you don't need to. It's all right.
Yeah, I don't think it's particularly good yet. It's one of those movies that we just keep talking about.
It's better than A Christmas Carousel.
Right. Oh, okay. So Heidi comes to the carousel to invite them all to the Christmas tree lighting. And so Royce flirting with Heidi. And then we find out that Heidi has four kids. And... oh, because Roy is kind of bumming out because now that Lila is hanging out with the Duke, she's not spending any time with him. And Heidi says to Roy, the best way of keeping the children close is by letting them go. So, and then Heidi has a dead husband. And boy has a dead wife. And so they just they exchange dead stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then Roy asked Heidi if her kids try to set her up on dates.
Yeah, it almost got a little weird because he goes, can I ask you a personal question? She's like, oh, I guess it depends what it is. Like, what was going through her mind as to what this question could be? Yeah.
Right.
Probably like, what do you think of men in toupees? Really bad right? ones.
Well, seriously.
She should have answered, look, if you're asking about my vaginal warts, that's off limits. Anything else?
Oh, okay. So, before the Christmas tree lighting or at the Christmas tree lighting, Lila and the prince are having a planning session. And so the prince teaches an art class and then she asks him, can you give a speech at the gala? And the prince says, at the tree lighting ceremony or one of the events.
Because they're like, because they're going to plan a big arts event. She's going to help out with this. Yeah.
So then the prince says that he hates public speaking. And then they're like, well, you know, we're going to have soloists at this decorating thing. And then this is when Maya skips in, and then that's when we find out her parents are skiing. And then I wrote here, these accents are horrific.
Well, this is also the point they decide that they're going to have Maya do a solo at this art show or whatever, which it made no sense because they never mentioned that, like, oh, Maya has this amazing singing voice, like, everyone loves her. It was just sort of like, oh, let's have the niece do it, which is fine. But then her solo choice, like, if you're going to sing a solo, normally it's something that, like, shows off your vocal prowess. But she chooses We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Like, it's called We Wish You a Merry Christmas, and she's going to get up there and sing it by herself, the most repetitive, mundane Christmas song ever.
And she's a princess, so they have to like it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they have to like it.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
That's like getting a solo and then say, oh, you know what song I really want to do for everyone that I think everyone's going to love me singing all by myself is Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Right. I think she should sing "Whip Your Hair Back and Forth" by
Will Smith. That would be good.
Oh, yeah, she should do WAP.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
WAP. I bet they would on Lifetime.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, okay. So then the king is noticing that Wit and Lila are getting a little too close. Uh-oh. So the king asks Wit, is your relationship with Lila professional? So the next day at Carousel, they're talking about the wishing horse. And then we find out that when you make your wish on the third go round, that's when you make the wish. Then we're in an art class, and the prince is giving painting advice to this kid.
Well, one other thing. The reason that we find out about the third go-around is they're explaining the lore of the wishing horse to the prince. Uh-huh. Did you find it weird that he wouldn't have already known that?
Right, because this carousel has been in their family for generations.
Been in their family, and they explained earlier in the movie that was the great-grandfather's signature. He was always put this one white horse on there that was the wishing horse, and that was his thing, that everyone wanted his carousels because of the wishing horse. And the fact that this has been at their castle all this time, and the prince grew up with this thing and was like, oh, this is new information to me.
What a disaster. Right. So the prince is giving drawing advice to this kid, and then
Who seems surprised that he's there. Kid turns around. Oh, Prince. Yeah, he's your teacher.
He's your teacher. You're there every week.
Yeah, he thanked him. Oh, thank you, Your Majesty. Like, really? Oh. Like he hasn't taught you anything else before this point?
Please, sir, I might have some more.
Right?
I like they're all working on their independent art projects. I thought one of the kids should have a nude model.
Right.
But it's like a little kid. It's like an 8-year-old boy, but he's got a very adult looking drawing of a woman.
Right. Anatomically correct.
Oh, the shadow on that is really good, Billy.
The crevices are.
Okay. So this next scene, which is another thing that I didn't get. Okay. So he's the prince, right? Oh. So the prince and Lila are like walking down the street and all the people on the street seemed very nonplussed by this.
Yeah, nobody cared. Well, nobody cared about the royal family there.
Like, wouldn't you think like, oh my God, it's the prince, and people would like gather around and take pictures or at least like stare. No, everybody just was going on about their business.
Yeah, like, you know, the reason you do a movie based around a royal family is because there's a bit of status just built into the hierarchy. And in this movie, the royal family was the most low status of any of the characters in the movie.
Right, like that beg for buildings and beg for permission. So they run into Heidi and Roy, and Heidi and Roy are basically on a date.
Yeah, they're like strolling along together. Yeah. She never seemed to be working.
No. Finding a man was her job.
Yeah. Maybe that's why there's like no real pomp and circumstances in this kingdom. Heidi's just like fucked off and stopped doing her job.
Yeah. Her job is just to be there. Yeah, she doesn't cook. Yeah. She's not cleaning anything. Just kind of hanging around. And not helping the king out. We'll see later on. She's actually like going against what the king said, giving him contradictory advice.
She's not so much an assistant as she is a hanger-on.
They would fire her, but she doesn't really work there. Yeah. So what?
Well, also, she's head of HR, so she never got around to it.
Right. So Lila and the prince are window shopping. They look in this one window. Lila sees this necklace. The prince wants to buy it for her.
Yeah, a little
conscious. And like she's like, no, don't do that. Then Lila gets a text from Nicole basically telling her, shit or get off the pot. If you want this job, you better fill out your damn application. I put in a good word for you, idiot.
These are low stakes.
So then, so then they get home like late at night. The prince, but it didn't seem, do you think it was late at night? The king acted like it was like they stayed out until 5 a.m.
No.
I don't think so, because didn't he have Maya with him at that point? Didn't he bring Maya home, or is that a different scene? Yeah, I think it was more just like, oh, you've been off doing your art all day. I didn't take it like it was late. I think the king was just like, oh, why weren't you here, you know, finding a wife?
I don't think anybody stays up late in these movies. It just gets dark early, you know, in the winter. That's all.
So the king is a total drag at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So he's like, listen, I don't like your sense of humor. I don't like your lightheartedness. I don't like your personality. I basically don't like you. And you need to get your shit together, and you're going to marry Margaret, and that's it. And the prince is like, but I don't love Margaret. And the king is like, well, you're going to learn to, because you're marrying her. And stay away from Lila. And you're taking Margaret to the gala. That's it. So then the king walks away.
And you're going to dry hump her behind this curtain.
Right. Like right now. So then the king leaves and Wit starts crying and Heidi sees him crying.
But doesn't stop to console
him. Who's crying? I didn't see this.
Yeah, it was super brief. It was like a single tear, but he was upset about the thing with his dad. It was like, oh, wow, like an actual emotional moment. Because, you know, that's like a bit of stakes to this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, Heidi sees him crying and just kept on walking.
Like, oh. Heidi's like, I am not getting involved in this.
It is my job to be involved, but I am not going to.
She is like, I am not touching this one with a 10-foot pole. I'm going to bed. I'll cry if I have to do something. So then they go back. So it's the next day.
She Uber eats him a pizza.
What's some of that now?
So it's the next day. Lila goes to the carousel. She brings the prince coffee, which I thought was very nice of her. And so then the prince was like, oh, I gotta go hang paintings for our exhibit with Heidi. And then Lila's like, well, wait a minute. I thought you said that we were gonna go hang paintings. And he's like, no, I'm going with Heidi. Goodbye. And so then they're at the gallery, and Heidi's like, I thought you were going to do this. Why am I here? I thought you were going to do this with Lila. I got things to do. And Heidi was kind of pissed about it, actually.
Well, because she saw him crying the day before. And she even brings that up. She's like, yeah, you know, I saw you crying.
Right, yeah. Actually, she's like,
what are you crying about, you pussy?
Yeah, she's like, I saw you crying. And
laughing about it.
And she's like, you know, basically Heidi basically told him, you need to buck up and you need to man up. And so Lila's pissed because she basically got dumped for, you know, she got dumped on her date.
Right.
Then
it's still this whole scene of like, why are they hanging the paintings?
Right.
Don't
you have help like for that?
Yeah, especially for something like that. It's not like, oh, it's this one and I really want it perfect. It's like you're hanging a bunch of paintings. Wouldn't you have some kind of helpers there to do it?
They have nothing else to do. What are they doing?
Don't you basically just stand there and go, put it over there. No, move it to the right.
I guess
a little
you could
bit.
Do that. Yeah. As long as you're involved, so you have to do something. You have to leave the house. You know, like Joan Squibb, she's 91. These people have to remain active too.
That's why she's so youthful.
What they should have done is hired an assistant to hang the paintings. It in walks June Squibb in some coveralls.
That's right. Like, hey, I'm here to
work you.
Like, I'm here to do the painting. Where do I go?
Ladies and gentlemen, the very first June Squibb impersonation.
It's a new year.
Look, she started her career late in life, so the June Squibb impersonations are going to start a little later than that, too.
Yeah. Right. Oh, okay. So Roy tells Lila, you need to learn to ask for what you want. So then she goes to the palace to see Wit. He gives her some champagne, so she's thinking, oh, okay. Because he says he wants to talk to her.
He was trying to get her drunk so she wouldn't notice how bad the CG of the town below was.
Right.
So, I didn't hear all that.
I said he was trying to get her drunk with champagne so she wouldn't see how bad the CG of the town below was.
Right.
Like it was like they green screened a city in behind them.
Yeah. There's also a scene where in the car, they're driving a car and the green screen. It looks like something like I have a green screen in my spare bedroom. It looks like something I shot in there.
So the prince tells her, listen, my dad wants me to take Margaret to the gala. And he's like, just so you know, this is the time that you announce your marriage. Just get me ready. And then he was like, but I don't want to get married. Because if I get married, I'm going to have to change my behavior. And I don't want to do that. Because I like being an artist. I like living my life. So, and then he's like, And just so you know, since I don't want to get married, I basically friend zone women in my life. Nothing about sleeping around. I make them my friends.
Friends.
My friends.
He reminds me of those, like, you ever have like an acting class and like there's like some people in the class who are acting, but they're very wealthy and they could do anything because they already have all the money. Mm-hmm. So they're just kind of like acting forever. But it doesn't matter if anybody likes their work or if they're any good, and it's just, they can just keep going and going.
Right. Oh, and so then Lila was just like, oh, I understand. And so then he's like, he's like, you've just been friend zoned. We're friends. That's it.
That sucks.
And then they're saying goodbye. They're saying goodnight, and Heidi sees this. And then the prince goes and then asks Margaret to go to the gala with him. He calls her up. And so then they're at the art show. They're looking at the art. Maya drew a picture. It's time for the speech. The prince is nervous.
This art show, like, was this at the castle?
They didn't specify.
I think wherever it was, it looked like a hot dog conference room.
Yeah.
It was not fancy at all. Like, which surprised me only because Hallmark, at the very least, always has a good holiday decoration game in their movie. And this looked like a bunch of really old jankety garland just hanging above some kids' paintings.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like it was in, like, an American Legion or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the prince is nervous, but then Lila's like, just go on stage and be yourself. So the prince goes on stage, and at first he's reading from note cards. He's really sucking, but then he just puts the note cards down and starts being himself, and then he's like a comedian. Everyone's laughing. He's funny. He ends up having a good speech, but the dad is like giving stinky face. The dad's like not happy about it.
Uh-huh. At first, but you see the shift in dad.
Oh, yeah.
In this scene, you see the king go from like, what is he doing, to like, oh, they're liking it.
Oh, and then he mentions Lila in his speech, and Margaret is like, I gotta go. Mm-hmm. So then Margaret left early. And then, the Duke is such an asshole. He's like, so what did you think? And the Duke's like, I still haven't decided yet. It's between you and another person. And I may go with that other person. I don't care. I don't care for your prince.
I think if I'm the Duke and I've gone to this art show, I'm going to question whether or not I should give this prince a manor. I'd be looking around at this jankety, courtyard by Marriott conference room and wonder, like, why does this royal family need this manor so bad? What kind of financial ruin are they in?
Right.
Not only that, but what else do they need? He's already teaching these kids art. What else do they need to hire? More expensive art? Do they need the more expensive pencils or what's
I guess he wanted to be a school.
A school.
Yeah, but where was he teaching already?
I don't know.
Oh, so the king actually said something really nice to Lila. And the prince was like, oh my God, that's the first time he's ever said anything nice. He actually approved of this. I'm shocked. And he tells Lila like his dad had never told him that he approved of him before. So this is the part where, as a performer, I thought these people were dicks, and I am team Maya on this one.
Okay.
Because they're trying to think of something to impress the Duke, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're like, well, there's... And so they find out that this Duke liked this one song.
They call Margaret to find out what the Duke's favorite Christmas song is. And the way she describes it, it's like, oh, it's his song from his childhood, but he can't remember the title of it. How is that his favorite song if he doesn't know what the fucking song is?
Right.
I thought that
when Margaret didn't tell him the name, I thought she just knew but didn't tell him, because what an asshole. She's like, he's supposed to be her date, and he's called, he and the other woman Violet, are calling yeah. her.
I think in another draft of this script, Margaret was made out to be more of a bad guy. I think in that version of the script, she probably did that on purpose.
So then they go to Maya. They go to Maya and they're like, okay, Maya, we know that you have been rehearsing to do this song.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah. But, how much are you rehearsing for that?
She said she was rehearsing for 2 weeks.
I can do it now. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Ah, it's so easy. What an easy song to sing. Come on.
But Maya, we know the show. We know the show's tomorrow, but you're singing a different song.
Mm-hmm. You're singing Ave Maria.
You're singing it a cappella. We don't know if you can sing it or not. Good luck.
That's show business.
Good luck.
Get to it, Maya.
They were all in on Maya singing a solo at this part. At one point, they even refer to it as Maya's performance. Not at the show, not at the art show, but Maya's performance. Right.
And prodigy all of a sudden.
They were acting like it, but she wasn't.
No.
And then so the next day, Maya is like, I am nervous about this. Like, I'm so nervous. I can't even get out of bed.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I was all set to sing We Wish You a Merry Christmas. There's no way I could fuck that one up. But now you gave me this complicated song thing with less than 12 hours.
Yes.
So I may look stupid. Thanks a lot. Thank you. Thanks. So then Lila comes.
Like, how shitty for Maya. Like, Maya, even though she's part of the royal family, her parents have abandoned her on Christmas. And now her uncle, who's looking after her, is like, hey, I really want to put you on the hot seat here because you, believe it or not, are at the center of this very important negotiation. Go, no pressure.
Don't mess up.
Yeah.
It's all riding on you, Maya. And if you mess up, you know, this is going to scar you for the next 20 years. And you can tell your therapist about this.
Tell us you're sick. Don't tell us you're sick. Gene Kelly was sick when he did the iconic number of Dancing in the Rain. Right. Get up. Rehearse. It needs to be perfect. Yeah, her parents remind me of those parents you hear about who, like, put their kids in boarding school so they could just travel all the time and have a great time.
Right.
But I never knew people like that, but they exist.
Oh, so the prince gives Lila her necklace. The necklace that they saw in the window. Mm-hmm. But the prince basically, it seemed like he was like, here's the necklace, and he seemed like he was saying goodbye to her.
I thought he already bought that necklace.
Well, that's
but he gave it to her.
Yeah, in the other scene, he's like, oh, you want that? It's yours. It wasn't even like a matter of like joking around, I'm going to get it for you. And then he actually did. It was like he was very assured that like, oh, yeah, the necklace is yours. And then gives it to her later after he'd already told her it was hers.
And then it was like, but then he was kind of like, have a nice life. I'm probably not going to talk to you tomorrow night at the ball.
A parting gift.
Here you go. So, then the prince goes and sees his father, and the prince is like, you know, Lila has told me to talk about my feelings. And so I'm here to tell you that I am not taking Margaret. And he's all ready for a fight. And then the king is like, oh, well, you know what? I have come to the error of my ways. I realize that I have been a total ass. And I actually like you with Lila because Lila brings out the best in you. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, go for it. You good? You go for it. You have my blessing.
Nobody likes Margaret.
So then Lila's at the carousel. Margaret shows up. And then this is the part that I guess you were saying, Jason,
yeah,
that it probably was a different script. Cause Margaret was like, hey, I need to talk to Wit about the gala tonight because we're going to the gala together.
Yeah, she showed up like on the day and she's like, oh, I'm going, and like Lila knew nothing about it. Like that whole scene was just to make Margaret look like an asshole.
Right. But Margaret didn't know either.
No. Well, no, I got the impression that Margaret knew in the version of this script that I'm sort of positing, that in that version of the script that Margaret knew that Lila didn't know that she was going with Whitaker. So she was going to come and make sure that Lila knew.
Right. Oh. So, and so in the other version, it probably would have been like, she would have told Lila this and then turned her back to Lila to walk away and have a big smirk.
Yeah, big smile as she sees like the sadness wash over Lila's face.
Yeah. Right.
God, exactly. We have some conflict going on in this.
Mm-hmm. So then Lila's like, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to go see Maya's performance. Yeah, this is where she says, I'm going to see Maya's performance. Yeah. And then I'm leaving.
Boy. Yeah, what pressure. This little girl didn't ask for this.
Well, like when they say performance, they make it sound like they're bringing in pyrotechnics and an orchestra and all this stuff. And it was just like her standing up in front of everyone.
So scalpers are outside.
And then people out there selling t-shirts, but they've spelled Maya's name wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And then she says, like, she uses the excuse if I have a job interview. She's going to go for that program director job.
Her opening act is John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band from Eddie the Cruiser's fame.
So then it's funny. You know, so she's like,
I'm going to write a Hallmark movie that is. It's going to be a Christmas movie, and it's going to be about an HR director, because every single one of these Hallmark movies, there's always some sort of job offer where somebody's going to make a decision the week of Christmas.
Right. Christmas Eve.
Yeah. That's Christmas the busy season for HR.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess HR people don't get off on Christmas.
Right. Yeah. Cause
not in the world of Hallmark, they don't.
Because the gala was on Christmas Eve. So then Roy is like, so Roy's kind of bummed that she wants to leave, because Roy's like, he's got to leave Heidi. And so Roy's like, you know, I think he has feelings for you. And she's like, nope, we're leaving tonight. But I'm thinking, well, in the movie last week, our protagonist left and his friend who went with him was like, I'm staying. I got a date. I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
Roy could have stayed. And
also, like, why did it was even weirder that Roy was gonna go back, because, like, A, Roy found someone that he likes, B, he was there to do a job, C, if she gets this program director job, she's not gonna be working for Dad anymore anyway, so why does Dad need to go back?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was weird. He was in the car. But did they complete the carousel? Is it done?
Yeah, it's done.
Okay.
Yeah, because they were unveiling it at this party.
Oh, okay.
That was the whole thing.
Oh, so then, so then the prince takes Margaret into the next room, and he's like, listen, Margaret, I know you're expecting me to ask you to marry me, but I don't love you. And she's like, I don't love you either. She's like, don't flatter yourself, dude. I'm not in love with you either.
In her terrible British, British-ish accent, she said the word bespotted.
Right.
Is that what she said? I thought she said
She used the word bespotted. I wrote it down. I could not believe it.
Bespotted. I want to meet someone who's bespotted with me. Oh, well, I could still work.
So then they're at the gala. And Lila sits Maya down and she says, listen, I was going to leave, but I stayed especially to see your performance. So don't mess this up. No pressure. Get out of there.
Poor little girl. This is child abuse.
So then,
they're like stage parents. They're like, why weren't you at soundcheck, Maya?
So then Maya goes on stage. She starts singing the song. It's an actual song.
Yeah. It's the Coventry Carol.
At least it's in English.
So she's singing, and the Duke is so touched, he starts singing like an idiot.
Well, he starts singing because she forgets the words.
it up. She reminds me. She reminds me of that little girl who sang the national anthem and forgot the words, and people in the stands are booing at her. People are assholes. That happened one time. People are such assholes. Mm-hmm. So that didn't happen in this movie, but she did forget the words. Mm-hmm. So Albert singing, the Duke starts singing.
Because in her defense, they changed it at the 11th hour, and she didn't really have time to rehearse.
I agree with you on that point. I don't understand why she didn't just bring the music out on stage with her or have a stand up there.
Yeah. Because she's like, I'm a professional. Yeah.
She never Celine Dion has sung at the fucking Oscars and had a music stand in front of her. Like, that's fine.
Who did?
Celine Dion. Although, in fairness, she took over for Barbara Streisand, who got sick or something. So it was like a last minute change, but she had like a music stand standing in front of her. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
The orchestra doesn't go out there and play from memory. They have music in front of them.
Yes.
True. Oh, so everybody was so happy about this performance that the Duke is like, Prince, I'm just going to give you the manor. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. And so then... So then the prince is looking for Lila, and they're like, oh, she left. She's gone.
Oh, boy.
And so then he starts trying to call her. They're in the... Okay, here's another thing that bugged me. So they go to get in the car for the driver to take them to the airport, right? Uh-huh. And he goes running after the car, and the car drives away, and he's forlorn. He's a prince. Couldn't get one of your drivers to say, yo, Jeeves, get the car. We're following them to the airport.
Also, that was probably one of the family's own cars. They probably had their car. Did you notice what kind of car it was?
It was a Jeep.
It was a Ford SUV. This is this like royal family in Europe, and they're riding around in a Ford SUV, really? In Europe?
Right. Like, wouldn't you text the driver, like, hey, come back?
And also, like, okay, you try calling Lila. I get why she's not going to answer, but have Heidi call Roy.
Right.
But you know, lazy Heidi is like, no, it's my night off, guys. I love him, right. But you know, I'm two drinks in.
Heidi's like, I spent money on this dress. Yeah.
No, Heidi was the only one at that party that wasn't dressed up real nice. She was like wearing just a normal black, like, business outfit, and everyone else is in these lovely gowns.
She's like, guys, it's my night off, so it's really fuck off right now.
Yeah, I'm not changing.
So they're in. So Roy and Lila are in the car, and Lila remembers that that Whit told her to wear the necklace when it's something she really wants, mm-hmm. and then Whit was like going like, what do I do? What do I do? And then he came up. He's like, I have an idea. So he goes to the carousel. Yeah. Starts up the carousel, and he used the wishing horse. And the wish worked because she came back.
At first, they thought it did. That like, he got on the horse and like rides it around, and then he comes back, and they're all like waiting with bated breath, like, "Oh, you know what happened?" And they see him, and he looks just so somber, like somebody just died because Lila didn't magically appear right away.
Oh, that sounds...
And you know what I thought about when he did this wish? Did you guys see Wonder Woman?
The new one.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, Kurt, first of all, yeah, you're good, Kurt. Trust me.
This movie is almost as good as it.
But the part that I did like about Wonder Woman is, no, if you made a wish, it was like a trick. So you'd get what you want, but then something bad would happen.
Oh, no.
Like, there were consequences to your wish.
Yeah.
So after that, I'm like, ooh, what if it's like one of those? Like he wishes her to come back and then she comes back and then like the building falls on his father or something.
Well, maybe that's good. But anyway, Margaret must feel like a horse's ass because she's still his date at this event, if I remember correctly. And then
they talked. Yeah, they talked earlier. She was like, "Yeah, I'm good. Right. I don't need this."
Yeah, all
right, she was bespotted. It's when she was bespotted.
She's bespotted, right? Yeah, but she still was date for the night. I don't know. Everybody's just shits on Margaret.
Oh, so then Lila shows up, and she's like, "I love you, I love you," and he's like, "I love you, I love you," and then she's like, "But my job interview," and he's like, "Listen, I'm starting up a school. Why don't you just come and work at my school? And then your father can just work on the carousel. Boom, you have jobs. You don't need to go back."
Which is the first time in this entire fucking movie where he's thrown his weight around as a royal. Like, right. Didn't do it to get the manor. Didn't do it with his dad when his dad's pressuring him to marry someone he doesn't want. But now finally he's like, "Hey, you're going to be my wife and father-in-law, you're going to live here too." And they're just like, "Oh, okay."
Right. The end. And then they went on the carousel and they kissed. The end. I hated this movie.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. What if the little girl didn't care about the carousel after all that?
They went through all that.
I would have loved it.
It was like, it kind of lost its charm after it looks like someone fixed it up. I liked it, the retro kind.
She's like, "A PlayStation. I wanted," like, "a carousel. I wanted a PlayStation."
What are we going to do with this?
Carousel. This is impractical.
Yeah.
Or she's like really woke, and then she's like a little Greta Thunberg, and she's like upset about how much fuel they wasted to fly these two assholes over to redo the carousel.
And I just realized something.
She's right.
She doesn't even live there, little girl. She doesn't live there.
She probably lives in the castle too.
Because they made it seem like her parents were skiing, so, like, she didn't... I didn't think she lived there. Like, I thought she was just there visiting them.
It's possible.
I don't know.
So she can't even take it home.
These people have the life, though. Could this happen? Are there like, obscure countries out there, like, where, like, I can meet, like, a queen, and I can get involved in her lifestyle?
There is a tiny country called Andorra. There's Andorra, which is tiny.
Okay.
Andorra is between Spain and France. And then there's Liechtenstein.
I had a friend who
lived in Liechtenstein, and that's like a tiny, tiny, tiny principality as well. And of course, speaking of principalities, there's always Monaco.
No, because I'd be a good prince. Like, yeah, I'd like make my bed and, myself out there.
You're saying that you'd be a good prince because you would pick up after yourself?
Yes.
That's what you have servants for.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why you'd want to be a royal is to like have other people do stuff for you.
No, I forget it.
Right. Right.
I can cook stuff.
Oh, you don't need a cook. Give a cook.
What am I going to do when I have to offer them?
Look, you would fit right in with this royal family because they clearly didn't have any servants.
All right.
All you need to do is work out all day and like...
I'll do that. Okay. I keep myself on the royal market.
Yeah, you just like work out all day and like...
That's my plug.
Read magazines.
I'll do that.
Be very relaxed.
Okay. I hope so.
Anywho, if you want to get a hold of me.
We all sound so defeated.
Did I sound energetic? If you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or you can hit me up on my website, leskirkendallbarrett.com. And I actually have a few other podcasts. If you're a fan of reality shows, I have a podcast called The Reality Reading Rainbow. where I read books by reality stars, especially those from Bravo, and try to make sense of them. But right now, my currently running right now is I actually did a Ripped from the Headlines episode where I contacted, right, exactly, yeah, where I interviewed Ronald Richards, who is this legal analyst, about the Erica Girardi, or AKA Erica Jane from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills embezzlement case. And then also, if you like soap operas, you can catch my other podcast, Soap Opera Love in the Afternoon, where I talk about all of your favorite British soaps and American soaps. Jason.
You can find all of us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt, tell us about your Instagram.
I don't know. I don't know what it's called. I have to look up.
But I don't know what your Instagram handle.
How are these people following you that you're so angry about?
I don't know. They find me. People find me on there. Create content. Maybe I'll make something tonight. But you can find, I have KurtFitzpatrick.com. That's Kurt with a K. And you can go on find Fringe live stream on Facebook. My comedy special, the Kurt Fitzpatrick Made It This Far comedy, no, holiday special. Made It This Far holiday special is still up there for you to watch. It's a 45-minute special of comedy sketches.
And I just realized this is our last podcast of 2020. The next time we do a podcast, it will be 2021. So happy new year, everybody.
Yeah, we left you with a dumpster fire of a movie to close out 2020. You're welcome, America.
Right, to close out a dumpster fire of a year.
Anticlimactic.
Right. And then, yeah, give us a review. 5 stars. We would love that. And I guess that's it. I know, because I got to go watch that show, My Big Fat Fabulous Life.
Okay. Dude, fabulous lice?
No, it's called My Big Fat Fabulous Life. It's about this woman who's a dancer. And she's overweight. Okay.
All right.
It's a good show. It's on TLC.
All right.
Anyway, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.